The first three doctors that examined her were rather concerned, and then we had a consultant come along, and within 30 seconds he said, "Go home." So that was really good. And I just share that with you now. I hope that's recorded, because we have a number of people in Essex who, goodness knows why, who like to listen to my sermons. And they heard the notice being given that Henry and I were disappearing, and then they got all worried. And then I got text messages about how we were. But so everything's fine. Okay, so we are currently going through a three-week series in Matthew chapter 6 as we look at the heart of the Sermon of the Mount, the most famous, the most well-recorded, the most impactful sermon that has ever been given. And it was given by Jesus himself. Many people, including non-Christians, would describe the Sermon on the Mount as the most beautiful piece of literature that has ever been written. And so it's wonderful that we can spend some time in it over these 3 weeks. We have Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We're looking through chapter 6. And in this chapter, Jesus is talking about three acts, three types of piety, which were important to his listeners and that were important to him. For the Jewish people and for himself, giving to the poor, prayer, and fasting were seen as three key ways of us demonstrating our love for God and our love for people as we seek to live well in this world. Last week, we looked at the first thing which Jesus spoke about, which was giving, and about how we as Brits, as people who live in Britain, we are often shy about talking about money, or at least our own money. But the fact is that if we follow Jesus, then we need to believe that everything that we have actually belongs to God and not to us, and therefore we don't have to be shy about it, but that we can be free about talking about it, and we can be free about passing it around as well. Money can really get to the heart of us sometimes. It can be a real stronghold in our lives in all sorts of different kinds of ways, no matter how old we are, no matter where we are on our Christian journey. And yet it's the way that Jesus describes money and the purpose of money and the ways of sharing money means that we shouldn't be that fussy about holding it onto it ourselves, but rather we should be free in passing it around. And today we are thinking about prayer. I began praying when I was 12 years old. I'd just come to faith. I didn't really know much about prayer, but I knew the very basics. And so before I went to bed each night, I would pray. And I may have said this before, but I used to pray about some really weird stuff, which I wouldn't pray about now. I would pray and try and communicate with those who I knew who were already in heaven. I would pray that my cats, who had recently passed away, would be all right in heaven, and things like that. And because I'd never went to church, for the next 6 years of my life, none of that kind of stuff was ever really corrected. I was never really enlightened as to what prayer was about. In all honesty, I think there was probably little praise and thanksgiving in my prayer life. But then when I turned 18, I went off to a university and I joined a church and I started to go to prayer meetings, which was a whole new experience for me. And it was a scary thing to be taking part in. And so often we can just, for those of us who are regular, maybe at prayer meetings or have been around the block a few times, we maybe don't think much of it. But actually, for those who may be coming to a prayer meeting for the first time, it can be a very daunting experience. You're worried that you're going to say something or do something wrong, which is going to be offensive to others. I can remember when I first started going to prayer meetings, the pastor of the church was, of course, there. And I found that incredibly intimidating because he was someone who would stand up and he would give his three-point sermons Sunday after Sunday. And he seemed to know everything. And yet I felt like I knew virtually nothing. And so then, therefore, the thought of me actually saying out a prayer with him listening was terrifying. One of the first prayer meetings that I went to ended in disaster because I turned up 5 minutes before it ended. I think the prayer meeting probably started at 7, whereas we all know prayer meetings should start at 8. Exactly, 8 o'clock. They didn't know that. I already knew that. I knew that before I knew anything else. But I turned up without a watch on because I'd got very into the whole Christian culture. I hate wearing anything on my right hand because I'm left-handed, anything at all. So I took off my watch and I was given these funny little bracelet things which had different messages on. So there was like a frog, which is fully reliant on God. There was push, which is pray until something happens. And then WWJD, which is what would Jesus do? So I didn't even have my watch on. I didn't know what I was doing. And I turned up 5 minutes before it ended. So that was rather embarrassing. And then the next prayer meeting that I turned up to, I managed to pluck up the courage to pray out loud. The problem was, is that there was a very, very deaf lady who was also at that prayer meeting. And she couldn't hear anyone praying at all. So just as I was stuttering through my first ever prayer in public, she butts in and starts praying. And I'm like, ooh, okay. And then that was it. So my prayer experience didn't start off that well. But it did. It was the beginning of a weird relationship ever since that I've sometimes had with prayer. That in my private, personal prayer life, I can just pray away. I can pray away with confidence. I don't have to use the formal words. I don't have to think about what I'm saying. It just kind of flows. But then at the same time, when I go into a public setting, sometimes it can get a little bit more complicated for me and in my motives and in the ways in which I pray. And maybe you have experienced something similar as well. Last year, the organization Tear Fund conducted a study on prayer, and they discovered that 51% of people in Britain claim to pray. 51%, which is incredibly high, isn't it? And obviously, you've got a number of people who would say that they belong to a religion and would pray, but you must also have a good chunk of people there who wouldn't even tick that they were C of E on a census. They would say that they had no religion at all, and yet they did pray. Now, they must pray about all sorts of different things. Praying praise, praying petition, intercession. Maybe some people are praying only when they're angry and they want to vent their feelings to God. Maybe some people only really pray when they've got questions, when they don't understand why certain things are happening and they want answers from God. So 51% of our population claim to pray. And therefore, it must be quite easy to pray, mustn't it, if half of the population are able to do it. To pray is therefore a normal thing, not so weird that some of us might think. It's a normal thing. It's a natural thing. Quite often, it's an easy thing for us to be having that personal prayer time with God. But praying in public can be so very different. We can be drawn into the setting into which we find ourselves and find ourselves fitting in with the crowd. I've been at prayer meetings before where everything is so incredibly quiet, where you can just hear the person praying. That's assuming you've got good hearing. But then there are other prayer meetings that I've been to where you're trying to pray and everyone's going, yes, Lord, or thank you, Lord, or all these kind of other things. And then you feel encouraged to kind of join in with that kind of response. In some prayer settings, everything is very kind of mute in your body language, where you might just be kind of sat on a chair and kind of hunched over with your hands together and your eyes closed, and you follow suit. But in other settings, you find yourself standing up and everyone's got their hands in the air and they're praying together, and that's what you end up doing as well. Sometimes there will just be long periods of quiet between prayers, just sensing the Holy Spirit, just listening, just resting in his goodness and grace. But then there are other prayer meetings that you might go to where whilst you're praying, everyone's praying together. People are praying in tongues. All sorts of wonderful things are happening. And this variety of prayer meetings and of gatherings together in whatever way it might be can be a wonderful thing. But sometimes it can also be distracting when we're praying in public. Yes, hopefully we have one eye on God, we have one thought on God, but at the same time, for so many of us, we find ourselves having the other eye or the other thought on what everyone else is doing, just to make sure that we're not embarrassing ourselves or to make sure that we're not sticking out like a sore thumb. We want to please God, but all of us, to some extent and to some level, also want to be pleasing people at the same time. And so this morning, as we continue in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to see what Jesus has to say about how we can keep our eyes fixed on God, how we can keep our prayers to him genuine, whether we are in private or whether we are in a public setting. And so I'm going to invite Betty to come up, who's going to read for us. So if you have a Bible with you, please grab it and please turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'm only going to be reading from verses 1 through to 18. Thank you, Betty.
Before I start, can I just say, I've experienced what Alex has just said. I have deafness, and this is why I pray to myself all the time and don't pray out loud when we are in prayer groups, because I am feared of interrupting someone else. Mm. So please forgive me on that point, but my prayers are still there, I can assure you.
Yeah.
It's on page 907 in our Bibles. Giving to the needy. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. Be honored by others. Truly I tell you, you have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Let your Father know that you know what you need. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Betty. So we're calling this series Not If, But When, because Jesus in this passage says when three times. He's not saying if you give, do it like this. If you pray, do it like this. If you fast, do it like this. But he's saying when. When you pray. Like I said before, 51% of the British population pray. And that's a statistic that I find so shocking because it's so high. Sure, some of those prayers are religious prayers, but there must be a good chunk of those people who, when they are praying to what we might call an unknown God. They don't know the character of the person that they're speaking to. They don't know the name of the one that they're speaking to. And yet they still continue to pray. We are in an incredible, fortunate position where we do know the character of God, where we do know the name of God, where we do know the personality and the feelings and the loves of God. We are privileged because we are children of God and He is proud to call us His Heavenly Father. If we have that kind of understanding of who God is as a Heavenly Father, as Heather was sharing before, then surely we don't need to be thinking about if we pray. But we can join in with Jesus and be thinking about when we pray. When we pray, don't be hypocrites. Last week, we thought about how hypocrites comes from ancient Greece, where the actors would be wearing large clay masks, and they would be known as hypocrites. They would be people who had lines to say that weren't their own. They'd be putting on a persona that was not theirs. And they would be speaking out through this mask which covered their own face, their own feelings, their own emotions. In the same way, don't be hypocrites when it comes to praying. Don't wear a mask when you're praying in public, but be yourself, be your true self. Jesus was talking about hypocrites, and he was saying about how these hypocrites, these people wearing these religious masks but were actually feeling something quite different on the inside, would love to be praying, standing in the synagogues and standing on street corners. And when you think about street corners, today in a religious context, you might be thinking about people who have got megaphones, who are trying to get everyone's attention to be able to share a religious message with them. That was the, what happens today is a bit similar to what happened back then. You'd have people who would stand where two streets would meet, where you'd have a lot of passers-by, and they wouldn't be proclaiming anything, they wouldn't be trying to evangelize, but they would be praying at the top of their voices, hoping to get a crowd who would come and listen to these very long and very eloquent prayers in the hope that these people would be impressed by them. Similar thing in synagogues. It was usual for people when they prayed in the synagogue to actually stand. But it's one thing to stand and to pray with a good heart, but it's another thing to be standing up, bringing attention to yourself, raising your voice, getting the attention of others. to be standing on the street corners, to be standing up in the synagogue, might show some kind of Christian religious bravery or courage. But actually, it wasn't out of that heart that they were doing it, but it is that they were seeking rewards from the men and women around them. And no doubt there were people who were on the street corners. No doubt there were people in the synagogues who got a good reputation for themselves from those around them for their passion and for their courage in praying out loud in this way. And maybe they did get rewards from people around them. But Jesus said that they wouldn't be getting rewards from God if they had that way about them. Rather, the best way to sincerely talk with our Heavenly Father without the distractions is not so much praying in the street where everyone is around. It's not so much standing up in places of worship, but rather the most genuine and personal way that we can pray with God is to do it in private. I love this quote by A.H. McNeil. The secret of religion is religion in secret. The secret of religion is religion in secret. This is the way in which we should be living out our Christian lives. Not always bringing attention to ourselves. Not only doing something religious when people are watching, but the trueness to our relationship with God, to our understanding of our faith, is what we are like when we are doing things in secret, when we are doing things at home rather than in public. And there are all sorts of different ways in which we can connect with God on a one-to-one basis that can help us from day to day. I've spoken before about this wonderful YouTube clip that you can find where Bill Hybels, the former pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in America, speaks about having coffee with God and about having chair time with God. I really encourage you to look that up and to watch it, because it really has changed the way in which I've seen personal prayer. That you find a designated spot at a designated time each day, and you have that, and from that you have that routine and you have that consistency in your prayer time, in your personal prayer time with God. There are other things that you can do. There's all sorts of apps that can help you. And our friends at 24/7 Prayer have recently released this new app called In a Room. You can get it if you've got Apple or Android. And it's a really wonderful app that helps you to be consistent in your personal times of prayer with God. It takes a little bit of getting used to and setting it all up, but once you've got that, you're on to a good thing. Some people talk about having their personal and their quiet, reflective times with God by occasionally visiting a monastery or somewhere like that. And I know that there are several people in our church family who find that really helpful, where there is that silence, where there isn't that distraction, where there are people around, but they're not going to bother you and you're not going to bother them. And you can have that personal time with God. But then some of those things may not be helpful to you. I have to say, on this whole visiting a monastery thing, for years now, I've had person after person after person talking to me about how great it is to go to a monastery, and I've never actually done it. And especially at Spurgeon's College, where I studied, they were really saying about how wonderful it is for everyone to go, and I just didn't want to go. Then a couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation with one of my mentors, And he was saying about how wonderful there was this monastery was that I think was up in the Midlands somewhere. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So have you been? And he said, oh, no, I don't like going to monasteries. Okay. And he said, if monasteries aren't helpful, don't go. And I thought, well, I don't think it would be helpful. So I'm let off the hook with that one. But find something that is helpful to you to actually develop your own personal prayer life, there's a lot of thought and a lot of energy that goes into each Sunday morning, with various people taking part. All of it is done to help you connect with God when you're here on a Sunday morning, and to hopefully prepare you in your week of Christian life. We take all this initiative, but we each have to take our own initiative as well for the other 6 days of the week, so that we can connect to God in personal and meaningful and sustaining ways as well. So something that I find helpful is walking. I hate sitting down and praying. I really struggle with it. I'm not going to try and battle it for the rest of my life by sitting down all the time and hoping that suddenly it clicks. No, I'm going to use what is already helpful to me. And by walking, it helps me to keep that conversation going with God. If you invite me around to your house and you live locally, I will walk so that I can be praying for you before I meet you. So that when I leave, I can be praying for you as I walk back and be praying for other things as well. I found something that is helpful to me. It is for each of you to think of what is helpful to you if you don't already have a system already. Jesus goes on to say, don't babble in your prayers. At that time, pagans, but also Jewish people as well, believed that it was good to say very long and very eloquent prayers, that somehow that would gain the most attention and response from God. That if you wanted God to answer your prayer, you just needed to keep on praying this same prayer again and again and again. And in one religious text, not in the Bible, but in another place, it is suggested that you pray for 9 hours at a time to try and get your prayers answered. Long prayers aren't wrong. Jesus himself prayed for long periods of time. He would spend whole nights praying to God. What isn't wrong is praying for a long time, but it's the motive. If you're praying for a long time because you're trying to get God's attention, then you're doing it all wrong, because as soon as you've said, Heavenly Father, you've got his attention, haven't you? If you're going to pray for a long time, pray for a long time to seek God, to spend time with your Heavenly Father, to praise him, to thank him, to bring every burden on your heart to him. Don't do it to try and manipulate him into giving you the answer that you want. This is a helpful verse in Ecclesiastes 5:2, which says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. We can babble on in our prayers, almost explaining the entirety of our lives to God, as if somehow he doesn't know it already. We can be picking apart every aspect of our life. Maybe we're praying about a friendship, a relationship that we have, and so we feel it necessary to explain to God every element of that relationship. There's no need. God is in heaven. God can see everything. God already knows. You just need to tell him what you want. I kind of think about it as if you are ordering takeaway, and if you made a phone call to your favorite takeaway place and you said, hi, I'm sorry, this is like almost like another phone call, isn't it? But it's like, hi, I would like to order some food. And so they say, so what do you want? And they say, and then you say, well, I would like some dough. And you make dough by getting flour and water and salt together, and maybe some other stuff. I'm really yeast. Okay. And then you mix it all together. And then I would like you to put some tomato sauce on, So what you need to do is you need to blend up some tomatoes, you need to add some basil and oregano, and then it would be good to have some cheese on there as well. For this kind of thing, it's probably best to maybe put on some mozzarella cheese, maybe some cheddar cheese, and then put on some ham, and then, I don't know, maybe some pineapple. Do you do that when you ring up Domino's? No, you say you want a Hawaiian pizza. If you have good taste in pizza, that's what you order. They know what goes in a pizza. They know what a pizza is about. You don't need to be saying to them how to make a pizza. So in the same way, when you pray to God, you don't need to explain how your life works and how the world works. God has already created your life the way it is. God has created the world as it is. You just need to be pretty direct, and you can be concise in saying what you want from God. And then Jesus goes into the Lord's Prayer. And we have different ways of saying the Lord's Prayer, don't we? We have more of a traditional one that we might find in the Book of Common Prayer. We have more modern versions as well. I'd really actually encourage you just to be reading it in your Bibles for how they're written, and read it in different Bible translations, because that can be a really helpful way of making it fresh in our minds, because the words are slightly different and the ways that they're put together are slightly different as well. This is a template for how we should pray, and so many people, so many authors have written books based on the Lord's Prayer, and so each chapter will have a different line from the Lord's Prayer. Now that can be helpful, but I think also when Jesus was teaching this prayer, he wasn't just teaching about the content, but also about how to keep it concise as well. This was a short prayer that Jesus prayed and that Jesus taught. And so it is good for us to pray these short, concise, direct, purposeful prayers as well. Use it to develop your personal time with God. I love it when we pray together. And it's a special thing when we gather together. We meet together in different prayer meetings throughout the month. We had Oasis, which is our Wednesday prayer meeting, this past Wednesday. And it's wonderful, even when there's just a few of us in number, to gather together and to pray together. I'd love it if we could get to grips with what is it that stops more people coming to prayer meetings. Sometimes I hear this phrase, this line of thinking, which I completely agree with, which is, how is it possible that you can get 40, 50 people to a church members meeting and yet you'll get 10 people to a prayer meeting? What is going on in the psyche of us which makes one more appealing than the other? At a previous church where I was a children's and youth worker, I wanted to start up a monthly prayer meeting to be praying for the children's and youth work. And so I thought, when would be a good time for us to meet together? What would be, you know, a time of the week which would be the least the least busy for people? And so I decided to meet for a prayer meeting half an hour before the church members meeting, because I thought, well, everyone will have kept that night free anyway, and they'll just come along to my half an hour meeting and then stay for that meeting. But month after month after month, I would have a small handful of people coming along to my prayer meeting to be praying for children and the young people. And then I would see, going past the door to our room, people flooding in, well, not flooding in, but a good number of people coming along to the church members meeting. What was it in them that meant that they wanted, that they couldn't come half an hour earlier to be praying for our children and young people, and yet wanted to come along and talk about the colour of chairs in a church members meeting? I'd love to be able to get to grips with that. But the foundation of everything that happens at church, the foundation of our prayer meetings, the foundation of our church members' meetings, the foundation of our growth and our witness and our maturing and our mission, the foundation of it all comes from what we are like at home in our personal times with God. Edwin Lewis Cole said, "Prayer in private results in boldness in public." Prayer in private results in boldness in public. It's what we start off with at home which will lead to what happens in the house of God here. We can all have times when we backslide in our faith, when we can become hypocrites in the ways in which we live our Christian life. We can all act the right way. We can all fall ourselves and also others so easily that our relationship with God is good, even when it isn't. But I'd encourage all of us to be taking time to reflect on our private relationship with God. What is your relationship with God like at the moment? What direction is your relationship with God going? May we seek the attention of our Heavenly Father before we even start to think about trying to get the attention of other people. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that we can approach you as Father, that you have revealed your fatherly and wonderful ways to us, that you have revealed to us who we are as your dear and beloved sons and daughters. Father, we're sorry for the times in which we aren't intentional in our personal time with you, where we feel like we can just get by rocking up to church on a Sunday or some other meeting and think that that might be enough for the day or that might be enough for the week without actually investing some personal quality time with you. I pray, Father, that you'd help all of us to look deep within ourselves and for us to be thinking about where we are with you and in what direction our relationship with you is going. Would you help us by your Spirit to be honest with ourselves? Lord, where we need help and guidance and counsel, would you give us the boldness to turn to a person close to us and say, "Look, I need help. I need help for more closeness with God." Please would you move us in our personal devotions and times with you so that it might outwork itself in us gathering together with a true power, with a true passion, and with a true desire to know you more and to see you work powerfully in this place and also beyond. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.